Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Everything Very Paranormal with Jen Anderson. That's me, your host. And tonight, my guest is going to be Amy Perry from Para Expeditions. She is with Para Expeditions along with Mike Smith, and there might be a couple other people in there. That's why I'm going to have her on the show. We're going to ask some information, talk about some other upcoming events, and see what's going on. So how's everybody been? I wasn't on 2 weeks ago. Again, I wanted to start this year out great, but I was under the weather, so you know how that goes. I think everybody was having a little bit of a flu bug going around. And anything interesting going on out there in paranormal land besides the feuds, which are always going on? I swear it's like never ending. Who doesn't like who this week? Kind of makes me laugh because I'm like, okay, is this high school? We really need to get over it. There is nobody right, there is nobody wrong. I'm trying to think of some things that were I was reading about in the field of the paranormal. I can't. You know what? I always have all these ideas. I need to write them down because that's my bad thing. I work all day and I'm like, I'm going to write that down. And like usual, I don't write it down. So it's kind of hard for me to keep up with what's going on. I do want to shout out to Rosalind Baum. She did a Facebook Live. If you get a chance, check out her Facebook Live. It's, of course, it's going to be recorded. So check it out. Try to get part of the movement. She has a great idea. It's about Facebook and networking and being positive and trying to take out some of this negative stuff that we all hear every day on Facebook. And social media. It's not just Facebook. It's, you know, everything. It's Twitter, social media. I can't say I'm beyond it either because every once in a while someone ticks me off. And, you know, so I take the social media to get my point across. And then, of course, I get a couple threats afterwards. But that's okay. It doesn't bother me. Not really. Kind of think it's funny. What else is going on? I haven't heard from Susan Sorrell. Hopefully she's doing great because I know she is working on a show. And she must be busy filming. So shout out to Susan. Let's see. We have Bruce Tango. He's going to be having something in New Jersey at the Travers Museum. Hold on one second. I'm going to look it up here on the phone while I have you all listening in. I wish I could talk and do things at the same time. I guess you're listening to Dead Air because I am trying to find this listing for Bruce Tango. And just kind of want to get his information out there as far as his next upcoming event. Okay, is a ghost hunt, and it's going to be at the Merchants and Drovers Tavern in Rahway, New Jersey. And I hope I'm saying that right because I'm not from New Jersey. It's going to be Friday, June 30th, and Saturday, July 1st. Sounds like a good time. He's going to be there. It's going to be his son, Dave, Joe Chin, and Steve Gonzalez. So it sounds like a great time. I might even try to make it if I am free that weekend. And if you can, go hang out with them. I'm going to have Amy on tonight. Again, Para Expeditions. A lot of times they go up to the Hinsdale House in upstate New York. and do investigations there. But she's worked a couple of places, and it's funny because I met Amy, you know, a couple of years ago in Pittsburgh when we had Dustin doing a seminar. I don't know, it's not even a seminar. He was doing one of his motivational speaking things. And that's where I met Amy. So, and then I've seen her along the way. For a short time, she was with, it might not even been a short time. She might have actually been with Hillview for quite a while. And now she's with Para Expeditions. So when she calls in, and I told her to give me about 10 minutes just to get through anything that I might need to throw out there. Anybody who is in the Gettysburg area, and I'm going to get dates for that, for the Gettysburg Battlefield Bash. And that is going to take place in Gettysburg August 2nd through the 4th, I believe. And I'm double checking the dates on that. And that is going to be sponsored by the Gettysburg Ghost Exchange, your one-stop ghost shop located in Gettysburg. And so it is going to be August 4th. I'm sorry, I was wrong. August 4th through the 6th, not the 2nd through the 4th. So August 4th through the 6th, the Gettysburg Battlefield Bash. If you're a vendor and you would like to get a table or set up there, the number for that is 717-420-5791. Again, that's 717-420-5791. That is Steve Berry. And again, that's going to be in Gettysburg. It's called the Gettysburg Battlefield Bash, August 4th through 6th. And that is going to be put on and hosted by the Gettysburg Ghost Exchange, one-stop ghost shop. And if you haven't been in there, stop by because they have a great store. They have all kinds of things. They are going to be one of the local Tascam long day. They're going to sell Tascam products. How's that? And so stop in their store if you're looking for something. If you're doing a podcast, they do have a switchboard type thing from Tascam for doing podcasts. I've not tried it out again. I'm working on a poor man's budget, but I plan on saving up for it. So I believe I may actually have Amy on the line. Let me check. Hi, is this Amy?
You do. Yes, you do. You
Hi,
have
Amy.
Me on the line. Hi, Jennifer. Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I know. So how was your day?
It was pretty good. I was giggling because you said you're working on a poor man's budget, and I was like, oh, God, I feel you.
I don't think there's anybody – well, okay, there are some people that I've met that have been independently wealthy, okay, and that can do all these things and have all this equipment, but I'm usually scrounging to get something that I want or – bartering to get something that I want to need, you know. So
yeah. No, I hear you. Yeah, there's always a newer, greater
just,
toy that it's like, ooh.
Or sometimes just hanging around the people that have them so I can play with them.
Yeah, that helps.
So now you are, and thank you for one, coming on the show on short notice. So I want to thank you because I did just contact her a couple days ago. I was like, oh my God, I had somebody fall through. Can you come on my show? And she was gracious enough to say yes. So I want to thank you for that. But you are now I kind of went into how we first met. And I don't know if you remember, but I first met you at a motivational speaking thing in Pittsburgh with Dustin Puri.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I met you there. And then, of course, the next time I saw you, you were at Hillview. So you had kind of like went from there. And I don't know if you were already doing the paranormal when you were at the seminar that he had. But and then the next time I saw you, you were at Hillview. And now you are doing this great pair of expeditions with Mike Smith. And it sounds wonderful and exciting. And you are just like blooming into this wonderful, I guess, paranormal flower because Like you've picked up on like, you know, you've always been very sensitive, but you've really developed your skills, I think.
I'm coming into them, or at least I'm coming into paying attention and learning to listen to them. I think most of our lives we're kind of taught to tune that out. It's all about hard facts and things that you can prove, and so you kind of get away from and life. You know, you get busy with life. You kind of drown everything out. You go through the motions, you know. And so now I'm getting back to sometimes it takes a big life change for you to get back to listening to yourself. And I think that that's probably what kind of got me paying attention more to my gut feelings and how I want to live. And so that kind of sparks going along with your intuition and paying attention. And, you know, I have more free time now. You know, my kids are almost grown and, you know, nobody to, you know, come home and, you know, feel like you're neglecting somebody because you're running and doing an event or you want to take a class. So loneliness sometimes has its perks because you find out how to entertain yourself or get back to who you were. When you're done being everything for everyone else, I think.
Wow,
that was kind of a roundabout answer to everything.
It's okay, but I totally understand that. You know, my kids have been grown, but I live back at home now with an 83-year-old mother, so I kind of still have my times where I have to turn things down because I just can't get away. I just want to make sure that, you know, she's okay. So, but now, were you already doing paranormal stuff when I met you in Pittsburgh, or was that like in the very beginning of actually moving into that direction?
No, I've kind of been involved with it in one way, shape, or form my whole life. I mean, I've always had an interest in it. I was fortunate enough that I grew up in a house where my mom was very open to exploring different things, different viewpoints, different philosophies. I remember her seeing psychics and, you know, we always loved scary movies and Halloween, you know, talking about ghosts or hauntings or having activity in a house wasn't anything kind of out of the norm. So I've always been interested. I've done everything, you know, like everyone, from, you know, it started off with, you know, growing up with that and then, you know, falling in love when Ghost Hunters, you know, hit the scene. And that was a TV show that, oh my God, there are people that actually do this. You know, they're not just sneaking off like a weirdo and trying to peek into buildings that, you know, something is creepy in there. So, you know, I worked with a local group for a while. I joined them and did some investigations and fell in love with it. You know, so, and did private residences for a while. Then I started going to like conferences and listening to speakers, and it just kind of kept blossoming. Got to volunteer, like you said, you saw me at Hillview. Got to volunteer there for a couple of years. Still, some of my greatest learning experiences came from there. I always tell people, and anybody that's ever either been a part of a building, owns a building, manages a building, volunteers steadily, or even investigates a building repeatedly, you get this really strange attachment to it because you know it better than you might even know your own house because you're really attuned to everything there, what it sounds like, you know, is there anything different during different times of the years? What's, you know, does the weather have any effect? How do things interact with you? I kind of have a theory after doing that the longer that you're in one location, can I say it's more active than any other building? No, but you become almost part of that building, so it's not like you're interrupting the flow of things. So, you know, it just kind of seems the more people that I talk to that have had that kind of background in paranormal investigating or in the field kind of say the same thing. It's like they no longer feel like they have to hide. They know you. So it's kind of an interesting thing to watch.
I actually believe that that's true. I believe that you can go to a building. I'm not saying that people just can't walk into a building and they get somebody speak, some spirit speaking to them. But I also believe that there are some spirits that feel more comfortable once they get to know you. And it's weird because I've been to places where now it's more that they would, I would get more EVPs now from them than I would in the beginning. So I don't know. I mean, I understand what you're talking about. I think that they get to recognize you like, okay, we know her. She's been here before. Let's talk to her. Where I actually have the problem where I go into a active EVP room and everything stops. I mean, nothing comes across. And I don't know. I mean, I feel that sometimes it's just my aura, my personality coming through. And I hate to say it, but I kind of have that cop. I used to be a cop, so I still have that kind of cop personality. And I think that that comes through in the spirit world. And I don't know if I scare them or if it's just that they're not sure whether they should say anything to me. So.
And that's interesting. Yeah, that is interesting. I don't know. You know, it's kind of different. In life, I attract cantankerous old men. So when I'm in like a hospital setting or a jail setting or a nursing home kind of thing, those are the spirits kind of vibe with me, and I don't know what it is, but I attract that in life. So I always tell everybody that comes on investigations with me, you know, there's so much that we don't understand, and you know, just because you get a get out or leave or you know somebody saying the F word at you, you know, don't take it as it's something maniacal. That you're about to be disemboweled or anything, you know, ridiculous. It could just be some, you know, our personalities, I really, truly believe, stay the same when we're in spirit form. You know, who knows? Maybe they're just tired of people coming, ripping through the building. I know I'd hate, you know, having endless company in my house and
yeah,
somebody
I mean,
asking me to make a noise because I'd have a few noises for them. But
it also makes me think it often makes me think, just real quick, did you ever see the movie The Outsiders with Nicole Kidman?
Yeah.
If you never if you haven't, watch it, because it kind of makes you take a different, the opposite look of the spirit world. Because in the movie, basically, you think that she is the person. In the end, you find out that her and her kids are the spirits. And so it kind of makes you look differently at the spirit world.
Yeah. I was a little mad watching that movie myself, only because I didn't figure the ending out. It was fantastic because I didn't, but I was like, what? I was blown away. And you know what? There's been investigations. That was kind of a great point there. There's been investigations and times where I kind of think that's where, you know, who's haunting who. You know, sometimes you get EVPs and it's like somebody's like confused, like, who is that? You know, or I've seen shadow people that, you know, dart from me like I scared the crap out of them. Like maybe I'm to them like the ghost coming storming through. You just don't know. The longer that I do this, the more questions that I have, the more it pulls me in further because it's fascinating to kind of test things, to try and experiment with things when you're in buildings, to try different approaches. You know, I always bring myself to it. I think that that's what they respond to. They respond to everybody's personalities differently. But it is always fun to experiment. And you know what? Maybe I was completely off on that direction I was taking. Let me try this and see if it works. And when you get responses, when you switch things up, it's amazing. I'm actually flattered every time something chooses to interact with me because it's very rare that you're going to get responses. So when you do, I consider myself lucky to have had experiences.
The hardest part about explaining the paranormal, like my sister will ask me, she doesn't want to go on anything because she's a scaredy cat, she said, but she was like, how do you know that's really somebody talking to you? Or how do you know what's going on the other side? And I was like, you know, if I sit there and think about it, I'm like, well, really, we don't know. We're just assuming. We're just trying to gather information and figure it out ourselves. So And I laugh at myself because I'm like, God, if I have to try and explain this to somebody, they're going to be like, yeah, okay, lady, whatever. I was like, but we're trying to figure things out. But like I tell them, until I'm on the other side, I am not going to know whether I'm right or wrong.
Right.
I mean, I could be off base. We could just be on different we could just be on different planes. And like you said, they get a glimpse of us, like we get a glimpse of them, or they get a glimpse of our conversation. We get a glimpse of their conversation, and that's, but we're on different planes. I mean, so we don't know. I mean, we're just speculating what our evidence is.
Exactly. Yeah. Nobody has the answers. And see, I like you. I think we did great on an investigation together because, being with Para Expeditions and you take, you know, we've been lucky. We've had a lot of people that have investigated before, but they're open-minded and they like to see other people's approaches. Or like you said, you know, you get to use somebody else's equipment. I can't own everything. It's impossible. Nor do I want to lug everything under the sun with me. So it's a great chance to see somebody else's approaches, use their equipment, you know, if they've been to that building a lot, here's some of their experiences, you know, because that's a great way to cheat and kind of go, oh, no, that window does rattle. So, you know, you're not getting anything, you know, so it's even little things like that. It's great for us to learn from them, too, because, you know, they have experience. And it's fun to have brand new people to show them, look, you know, we're just opening ourselves up to possibilities that something may happen when we're here. That you might get. Go ahead.
Sorry, I actually love when there's new people there that are curious, that are like, just like they've wanted to do this and now they've come out for the first or second time and they're fresh and they're excited and actually sometimes you just forget to ask the simple questions and they go and ask a simple question. You're like, damn, why didn't I think of that? That was like.
Exactly.
That was just like, because I get so used to doing it and I ask the same questions and then it's like they come up with these questions like, wow, that was really simple, but I just overlooked the obvious, you know. I was like, duh.
Exactly. And I think you do need to work with different individuals and get outside of the things that you normally do because, you like, kind of like you said, you kind of, my God, I'd be so bored if it would. You do tend to fall into the same line of questioning. Or the same mindset. So you have somebody like, okay, you mentioned, you know, Mike is part of Para Expeditions. Mike and I are a great team. He's one of my favorite people to investigate with. And the reason being, I'm more the emotional and the a little bit more, I don't want to say flamboyant. That doesn't sound right. It makes me sound like a drag queen. but I'm the one that's a little bit more active, a little bit more vocal. That's it, vocal. Mike has a more scientific approach. He will say he's a skeptical believer. And so he's a little bit more laid back. So it's a great play off each other. It was something, you know, that he thinks of things scientifically where I'm more of the person that goes off emotions. So it really is a nice match. And we have a lot of fun too. So it's, you know, and the groups that we work with have, you know, two different sides of the coin. You know, they can see how I would do it and how he does it. He builds his own equipment. You know, he has fantastic experiments for people. That's another thing. We like to bring in different approaches for people to see, like, you know, a lot of people hate the Ouija boards. You know, we'll do something with that. We'll do Mike's brought in mirrors where we for psychomantium experiments. Let them try that, dowsing rods, pendulums, you name it. I mean, we try to incorporate every little thing with it. I do an opening where I want people to kind of let go of the stress and the excitement of getting to the event and get centered and focused and remember what we're there for and to kind of open their mind to the possibilities of experiences with the other side, and to also be mindful that we're talking about, you know, these were human beings, especially at the Hinsdale house. This was a homestead. They had holidays there. They had, every family activity that we have in our own homes. There's no reason for that place to be as haunted as it is that anybody, I mean, there's no set reason. There wasn't a mass murder there. There wasn't anything that you can kind of like put your finger on. But I also want them to kind of, instead of hearing, you know, just the dark and the evil and this and the that, also think about this, you know, there was somebody's grandparents that lived here. And that granddaughter has great memories of her grandmother making Sunday breakfast. And she told us about the biscuits and the sausage gravy that she made. And to hear her talk about her grandmother and paint that woman back to life was amazing for me. And it was also mind-blowing because here I am investigating, trying to reach her grandmother on the other side while she's sitting right here. And I've never had that opportunity before. You know, I mean, we all know we're interacting with spirits, but to actually have one of, you know, a family member there as you're doing an investigation was really kind of a humbling experience for me.
Absolutely.
So it's, yeah, it's just about different, just trying different things and looking at it a little bit differently and keeping it fun and exciting and trying to remember. Sometimes it's a lot, you know, you have to try to think of everything all at once.
Well, and you're busy because you work during the week, and then on the weekends you're going to the para expeditions, and I'm like, wow, it's like, I don't think my days are that crazy anymore. You know, my mom keeps me busy when I come home from work. If anybody who has an 83-year-old parent, or, you know, it's like, you love them, but they drive you crazy because they want everything done yesterday, and it's like, okay, well, but you have to realize I still work a job. I'm not retired. I have to work my job, and then when I come home, I will take care of it. But, you know, you're just crazy busy. And, you know, I do have to say one thing, and I'm going to go back. I'm going to get off track just for a minute, because I was watching you when you were in your house and they were having that incident happen at the house down the street. And you got so emotional. And I was like, wow, she really is a sensitive, because you were just so emotional over the outcome of what happened at that house. And I want to thank you, because that was like one of the best. I mean, I don't think anybody could have got a better live report. They should have put you on television. That's what I'm saying. Because I mean, I was like, wow. I was like, poor Chi-Chi.
Yeah.
Chi-Chi was like,
for anybody that is, for anybody listening to the show, what she's referring to is, unfortunately, in my neighborhood, there was a standoff. With one of the neighbors. I didn't know him very well. He was just a renter that was there only a few months. It ended up that he sadly committed suicide, but they were tear gassing the house, and that was what I was doing live, you know, filming, because it looked like a war zone in my neighborhood. And yeah, I do get really emotional over that stuff. Really bothers me. I hate to see any discord like that, any unhappiness like that. I don't understand what happens, where that flipping point is for people, where things go that terribly wrong. So yeah, I definitely take things like that to heart.
And if any of you don't know, Chi-Chi is her little dog, which God knows I love, because I'm always like, Chi-Chi's always in everything. I think everything that you go live, other than in the car, Chi-Chi is there.
Yeah, Chi-Chi's a big part of my life. She kind of filled a void when my little, I vowed after my Chihuahua Taco had to be put to sleep, because of I'm not home that often. You know, I do travel a lot, and I didn't want to go through the whole prospect of, you know, being that attached to something again. And we all know how heartbreaking it is when their time comes. And as luck would have it, the universe saw differently. She was following me on one of my walks, and I could not find her owner for anything. So I'm her owner. So she's mine now. So
yeah, she found you.
Yeah, I always, I don't know, but I always thank my grandmother for that. my grandmother had a love for little scraggly dogs, and she saw that I got another one, so.
Well, she is really cute, so I'll get back on the subject now. Now, you work a lot at the Hinsdale House. You do a lot of investigations in Hinsdale House. I think you've been to the Bel Air House, too, though, right? And then you were a couple places. Didn't you go a couple places out west, too? Did you go to Indiana?
We used to.
I don't know.
Yeah, we did the Rhodes Hotel in Indiana. I really enjoyed that. We did the Eagle Hotel and the Judson House in Erie. I would like to get back there. That was an interesting investigation. We were getting
I love the Judson House.
It was kind of weird. It goes back to kind of your story about who's haunting who. You know, we're in the Judson House and we keep talking about, is this your house? Is this your house? I mean, we're getting a lot of activity and responses. And, you know, when we would talk about the house, it would just fall flat. And, you know, anybody that hasn't been there, the Judson House, there were three different forts there during different times. And so I said, maybe this isn't a house to them. You know, maybe they're still seeing a fort. And we started talking about the fort, and we got all the same activity again. So it was amazing to kind of see that, you know, and to whatever we were interacting with wasn't comprehending, what are you talking about, a house? You know, like, who's in the basement? And we were nothing, you know, you're getting nothing. And I'm like, maybe it's the fort. Maybe, you know, we're talking to somebody from the fort, and who knows, and in whatever dimension that they're in, we're standing in the middle of the fort asking questions or whatever. So it's mind-blowing sometimes when you sit back and you think of all the different possibilities. Yeah, the Rhodes Hotel, I love that place. Have you ever been there?
Nope, haven't been there.
Okay. That was an interesting place. That was a brothel at one point. That was why I was dressed like a madam for that investigation. Sometimes it's fun to be a girl.
I do remember a clip of seeing that. That's right.
Yeah, you can play up some of the funness of being a girl. You can still be a girl. And that's what I like, even with, you know, even if it makes the guys that you work with go, ugh. here she comes with her heels, click, 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 click through the investigation. But it was a really interesting, I will tell you, I've slept for 2 years in haunted buildings many, many weekend nights. That place, I had a really difficult time sleeping. I slept in the bedroom that a priest who supposedly hung himself there. I slept in his room, and I remember Mike and I talking. Guests were going to sleep, and we were sitting there talking, and we watched a shadow, like a couple of times, move across the wall. We kept trying to debunk it, thinking, "Oh, it has to be car lights. It has to be nothing." There was no cars going at that time of night, and it's a town with nothing in it. And I kept seeing that while I was laying there. Also, something was messing with my feet. Something kept touching my feet. and I could hear movement up and down the hall. So I just had a really hard time sleeping. I had to keep telling myself, come on, you've slept in asylums. You can handle this. But it just seemed really active, really, really, like there was just constant movement. So that's an interesting
now
place.
How,
Hinsdale? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, how do you sleep in Hinsdale?
Hinsdale, actually, believe it or not, I hate to say it because I don't want them to prove me wrong. Sometimes I think, you know, you get too comfortable. Oh, well, I haven't had anything really, you know, horrible happen here. And then, you know, the next time you go, all hell breaks loose. Because they're like, oh, no, yeah, it can be scary. Because I used to be that way at Hillview. You know, I loved that place. To me, it was like coming home. You know, I'd go in the hall, hi, you know, like talking to them before anybody would be in there for the, you know, that rented the building. I would sing, you know, just have a good time. And then there were other times you'd open the doors and I would be like, oh, I'm not going out there. Because it's just a whole different environment. Hinsdale is the same way. There are times it's as calm as sitting in your own living room. And then there are times it's just like you question, should I really be doing this? What am I interacting with? It can be really, I left there one time very, very confused and drained and emotional and unclear on what I was interacting with, and I still don't know. It just feels to me that there's something there that's like a void of any kind of human emotions, and I am never one to jump to, oh, it's demonic, oh, it's this, it's that. It's just I can't get a read on it. I can't get it to interact. It's just an oppressive wall that you hit, and it's not swayed by trying to be friendly or get to know it, or you know, so it can be disturbing
there. That are like that.
Yes, absolutely.
There are people in real life like that. So again, if they bring their personality to the other side and they are that way in life, they may be that way in death, and that may be that oppressive, mean, nasty, I don't like anybody, I don't care who you are, you're never going to get close to me, you're not ever going to get to know me type. I'm putting, you know, building the wall up, and that's just how I'm going to be.
Yeah.
And that really, I think,
exactly.
Demonic is so overused. I hate to watch these things on TV now because everything is a demon. I'm like, and I'll yell at the TV and go, it's not a demon. It's not a demon. I'm more of a demon than that is in the house.
Exactly. It's just, you know, I mean, there, and like you said, I mean, there's plenty of, you know, living people that I'm afraid of. You know, there's plenty of people I keep my distance from. But yeah, just to label something that seems a little offsetting as demonic, I'm like, I will be the first one to say, I don't know if I've ever come across anything like that. And I will, most of the time, despite a lot of investigators' likings, if somebody goes, hey, you want to go look at this place? Or, you know, it's known for demonic activity. There was a satanic, you know, rituals performed there and stuff like that. I'm like, you know. Because I don't know that stuff, and I don't want to know that stuff, and good luck to you, because I am sensitive, and I will pick that up, and I'll try and shield you, and then I'll be drained, and you'll be talking about, that was awesome, and I'll be down for a week, you know, or, you know, I don't want to mess with that kind of stuff. I think we should be aware of it. That's about as far as I want to go with it, you know, just to make sure that I'm not unprepared, because you can come across that anywhere, but at the same time, I'm not going to go searching it out. Good luck to you.
You're not going to be looking for it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Now you have an overnight coming up for the Hinsdale House, right?
Yes, this Saturday.
Is there
this one is sold out. May, I think there's still some openings in May. Yeah, so I get to go back this Saturday. I'm excited about it. And just to mention, too, because I keep forgetting, Dan Klass, the owner of the Hinsdale House, is also part of Pair Expeditions. And sometimes it's weird because he kind of gets it. He's not as, you know, he's always busy with all of his other stuff, so he's not at every investigation with us and stuff like that. He certainly doesn't have to be at every Hinsdale event because he's always at that house. And he knows, oh, they got it. They're good. And, you know, we're off and doing our own thing. but it is nice having him be a part of it. It certainly gives us a little bit more access to the Hinsdale house. So we're really grateful for that. He's awesome with anything that we need. And he's got, you know, the big expensive toys, the Geo boxes and the, you know, any kind of, you know, state-of-the-art box that's made, he's buying it. So it's really cool to have access to those when he's around. And just, it's nice to have the three of us because we all work well together. We're very good about talking things through and planning and what we'd like to see and different experiences we'd like to bring to people as far as, like, guests. I love being able to bring in somebody with different skills. Like at the Rhodes Hotel, we brought in Ken Bogle, and he did tarot card readings for the guests. Oh,
I love Ken.
How could you not? Now, speaking of fabulous, he is just fabulous. I love him to death. He's adorable. He's spot on with readings. And the guests just, they had a great time. You know, I mean, I love to be able to bring people that I have had the pleasure of interacting with, either at a con or hearing a lecture of them, or maybe I've got to work with them before, and bringing them to people that have, that would no other way get to experience them. Because there's so many fantastic people in the field. And
there are.
I love the people that I got to, you know, the pleasure of working with or learning from. I'm all for it. Hey, please see these people, because this is who I'm learning from. These are the people that I'm watching. These are the people that, if I don't have any kind of clue, these are the people that I turn to. And that's what's phenomenal about building that base of friends and confidants and working together in the field. You know, too many times we see, you know, the people that want to be the superstars, and, you know, you can't all be the superstars. and I like being, you know, just with everybody and learning. That's what's got me so far in a few years.
My take on it is there is no wrong answer and there is no right answer. And I wish people would just stop fighting and saying, this person does this and they do that. Who cares? Do what you want to do. Do it the way you want to do it. Try it the way you want to try it. They tried it the way they want to try it. Who are we to say they're wrong? Who's to say that their evidence
Absolutely.
Is any better than our evidence?
We Absolutely.
Don't know.
Or that their approach is, you know, wrong, or, you know, it's just, it gets, that part gets to be a drag, but I do always appreciate those that I do get to work with, because thank goodness I'm not just dealing with, you know, we all have the people that we're like, oh, please stop, just stop, just do your own thing, and I'll do my own thing, and everybody can get along. But I'm very fortunate that I have some phenomenal people that I will be eternally grateful for to call best friends. And Para Expeditions just keeps broadening that circle. So I really like that. I was trying to think of this. In May, and just a couple of weeks, we'll be in Massachusetts. Yeah, it's amazing. And go to cons, too, you know. I tell people that, too. Go to conferences. A lot of our guests now are starting to venture out and hearing lectures and going to conferences. And I love that. And going on investigations on their own, and I get to look at where they're going, because I'm like, damn, you guys are surpassing, like, any expectations that I have for myself. And that's so great to see. You know, they might have been, their very first investigation was with you, and now you see them at Waverly Hills, or you see them at cons and getting their pictures taken with people, and you're like, that is awesome. That is so cool. I get so stoked for them.
It is. I mean, it's great. And I'm going to go back to what you said in the beginning. When Ghost Hunters came on, all of us weirdos that actually, and I'm going to call us weirdos because that's what everybody calls me, that believed in ghosts, that really thought that there was something going on in the afterlife, but was afraid to come forward because we already knew we were the weirdos, but we didn't want all society to see us as that, brought us all out of the woodwork. So, I mean, there were people out there that were, I would say, had more courage than me, that went out there and was like, okay, I'm going to do this, even if people look at me like I have five eyes or whatever. But I didn't come out until I was like, okay, so there's people on TV now. It's socially acceptable for you to say you believe in ghosts. I lived in a haunted house. Of course I believe in ghosts. It wasn't like I didn't live in a haunted house, but I didn't like go tell everybody, hey, come over to my house, it's haunted.
Right. Right. You learned real quick who to talk to about it and who to kind of just, you know, never mention it. You know, and the fascinating thing that I like about this, too, that has nothing to eat, that happens all the time when I'm not on any kind of investigation, is people tell me their ghost stories. You know, just about everybody you know. I mean, I love all fields of the paranormal. I belong to a cryptozoology group. You know, I went out and canvassed the neighborhood and asked them if they had any strange sightings of dogmen. You know, you want to talk about being looked at weird at a door, go do that. but, you know, and go out on Bigfoot hunts and, you know, skywatch and hope for, you know, UFOs and things like that. I love all of it. But what I really love about, first of all, we're all spirits in a physical form. Right now, so eventually our time is going to come where, you know, I kind of do this because I want to know what happens on the other side as much as we're allowed to know when we're in this realm. The other thing too that I love is just about everybody you know has a ghost story, whether they can sit there and tell you I don't believe in it, it's a bunch of crap, and then they'll go, you know what, there was this one time, and I'm like,
I just can't explain.
And there's yeah, they just can't explain it. And so that's, I love to hear just everyday people tell me their experiences or their stories, and it happens a lot. You've seen pictures of my car on Facebook. Those magnets stay on my car all the time, so it's, I kind of bring it onto myself. You know, I could be pumping gas and somebody wants to know what that is, and then suddenly they have 10 stories to tell me. Sometimes it's annoying, but then I stop and think, you know what? They might not have anybody else that's going to listen to this story, and right now I'm it. You know, I'm the one that's going to listen to them and not think they're a weirdo. So if that helps them feel better and they get that out there and that's as far as it goes, fantastic. In some small way, I kind of helped. You know, I was just that person to hear it. Maybe
It's funny the people you talk to, even like in my job, they're like, what's your hobby? And I'm like, well, like, or I'll say I have to leave because I've got to go on an investigation. They'll look at me, I'm like, I'm a paranormal investigator. I swear, all these people are like, really? Well, let me tell you. And it's funny because they will tell you the whole story. They'll be like, or they'll be like, oh, I was at that place. We went on an investigation at that place. You know, that's really neat. You heard, you should go here. I would like to do some more house investigations. I think that's the one thing I do miss because I started out doing house investigations. And now, yes, I love going into asylums and stuff like that, but I still really like the house investigations.
Yeah, there's, you know, and my least favorite question, and people sometimes get, and I get the question why it's asked, but sometimes people get mad at the answer. You know, what's your favorite place or what place was most active? And I'm like, you know, they all have different reasons that they're, you know, in my top 10. You know, one might be because I spent 80 hours a week there. You know what I mean? So, of course, I have a different look at that building. Others are, you know, different experiences have happened there. There's something really weird about somebody else investigating, and they send you a clip of their investigation where you hear coming through a geo box, you know, the investigator's going, do you remember Amy? And you hear, we miss her. And that, you know, there's something that stays with you about that because you're like, you know what? All the times I roamed through that building and thought nobody was listening and I just kept talking and talking and talking and being myself, to hear that come back was validation to me that they were there, they were listening. You know, maybe I just wasn't paying in close enough attention or, you know, and to hear miss me, that kind of changes your perspective on some things, and to remember to be kind even in your investigations, because that for me has always made a difference. I get far more better responses being kind and respectful and compassionate than I ever do with being cold and, you know, calculated, and I'm not a provoker, that kind of thing.
I always say I don't provoke. I'm always respectful. I think the only thing I ever do is say, I bet you can't do that. I know you can't do that. Come on. I know you're not able to do that. You can't make that bell ring, or you can't make me hear your voice on the recorder. You know, but that's my extent of provoking. So.
Yeah. And that's more of a challenge thing. And that's, I'm like that. Or there will be instances where I will stand my ground. You know, when the things that do try and intimidate you or, you know, you do feel that oppressive, you know what you can't, there's there's a line. You can't cross it with me. You know, so there are times you do have to be a little rigid and a little tough. And even on the inside, when you're crying and want to wet your pants, have to stand your ground and go, you can't do that. You know, I can't. The Rhodes Hotel was a prime example for me. And it wasn't that anything bad was, but there was a spirit there that I kept picking up on. And it was a woman, and I described her to Mike because Mike came upstairs before the guests came and go, who are you talking to? And I'm like, the lady in the hall. Couldn't see her, but I could feel her. And if you could see her, it would be at that moment where she was breaking down and sobbing and at the end of her wits. And that's all you could feel from her. And I just wanted to, I just was like overwhelmed and wanted to cry and sob. And I, you know, not that I was mean, but I was like, look, you can let me know in other ways how you felt or what happened to you, but you can't, I can't break down. I can't break right. down for you. There's other ways for you to get that message to me. You know, and Ken picked up on, you know, I kind of think we both felt, you know, I heard it when we were getting a tour. We were in one of the parlors. And I came out and stood at the end of the bottom of the steps because I heard what
heard
sounded like somebody, you know, thudding down the steps, like, do-do-do-do. And Ken came around the corner and looked at me, and I was like, I swear I just heard somebody. Because I asked Gail, who was giving the tour, I'm like, is there a story of a woman, like, being pushed down the steps, falling down the steps, dying here? And Ken was like, shut up, because I just felt her. And I'm like, oh, yeah, she was... But she said, you know, lots of people pick up on that here. And I'm like, okay, so I'm not crazy. So that makes me feel better because I actually could, I heard it, and that's what made me kind of go to the steps like, what the heck? Because I knew we were the only ones there. But yeah, they can physically make you feel things, and that I'm not a huge fan of. I'm not saying that they're doing it to be like, you know, hurtful or harmful. It's just, I don't know if they're so overexcited to get that message across, or that's the best way. Suddenly you'll pay attention because now you're feeling it. You know, but I'm always like, you can, there's so many other ways, but please don't make me physically like sick or over emotional, or I can be mental on my own. I don't need the outside influence.
Now, we are at the end of the hour, which went by so quick with us talking. Again, I want to try and get you and Mike on the show, but we'll do it probably down the road a little bit where I can get you both together okay. on a schedule and on my schedule. When mm-hmm. is your camp out? Because I know the camp out is coming up at Hinsdale. Is that this weekend?
The camp out, right? No, that's not this weekend. July 21st and 22nd, we're incorporating Brian and Terry Seach, who will be doing like a little 101 on crypto investigations, Bigfoot hunts, and then we'll do like, we'll have the guests be able to see how they would conduct an investigation, because there are alleged sightings around that area, not necessarily the Hinsdale property, but I caught a creepy howl there that I still can't quite place. And then we also are bringing in Jamie and Jenny King, who are doing a little bit about sky watching and ET connections, and he's really about vibrations and frequencies, and so he's going to bring a little bit of his theories into it as well. So, and then, of course, we have the ghost hunts all night. So we're going to try to bring all three together.
And that sounds like it's wonderful. Again, that is July 21st and 22nd.
Yes, and they can find all the information on Para Expedition's Facebook page, any upcoming events. We also will be doing the Monroe House in Indiana coming up this summer. Those ones sell out very fast. We're the first to hold like major publics there. So we're really excited about that, and that should be a good time, too.
Well, awesome.
And
Houghton
Mansion.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean
yeah,
to cut
you May
off, Houghton Mansion.
No, that's okay. I know we're done. May 6th, so you can please check out Para Expedition's Facebook page for tickets on that. That one will be a little bit bigger because it's a bigger space. A lot of good people coming together on that, including Paranormal Crossroads Live, who will be broadcasting the investigation overnight. So that'll be fun.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you so, so much. I will get with you. I want to thank you for being on my show, but I will get with you to have you and Mike back on the show. And hopefully I'll see you at one of these events at the Hinsdale House.
I hope so. All right. We'd love to have you there.
All right. We'll see you then. And you have a great night.
You too. Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And that was Amy Perry of Para Expeditions, along with Para Expeditions, Mike Smith and Daniel Klaus of the Hinsdale House. July 21st and 22nd, they're going to have a camp out up there. So go to Para Expeditions on the Facebook page and see their upcoming events. I want to thank everybody for listening to Everything Very Paranormal with Jen Anderson. That's me, your host. And we'll see you in about 2 weeks. Have a good night, everybody.
Napa Know How.
A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.